that is pure. Read it there. Read it there in Revelations 21 and 18. And she might put it up on the screen, and you can see it there. It's a place. The materials are gold that is pure, and they're pearls. The gates are made out of pearls, like transparent glass and jasper stones. You can read that. Read some of it about that also in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, Hebrews 11 and 10. Let's see what it says in Hebrews 11 and 10 there. I believe we've already read it. And he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city. Amen. And then we find, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now this is in the 12th chapter, verse number 22. Turn over there if you would, please. And I urge you to write this down or mark this, underline. If you got a shade in pencil, shade this in. Folks, this is talking about a place where the church is going to go. I've been studying about this for many, many years, for decades. I've been studying about this. I read a prophecy, the books that I can get a hold of. I read them, what's happening in the end time. I want to be mentally and spiritually and physically aware and ready for the end time. You see? You may not think so, but this, I think, is the most beautiful time of all creation. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled in the nations of the world. The next thing on God's calendar is for the trumpet to sound. The church is going to be changed. They're going to rise from this whole earth. We're getting ready for a world monetary system. You may not know it, but folks, if you're reading about this and staying abreast, it is failing here and in China, in Japan, in England, in France, and all the countries of the world. The world's currencies are failing. We're getting ready for a world monetary system. We're getting ready for a number system. You won't deal with money and currencies. It'll be a stamp on your hand or in your forehead. The number will be 666, the mark of the beast. And anyone who takes that mark will be damned for all eternity. The Bible teaches that there's no way of ever getting out once you've taken that number that the world already has. They already have that stamp, that chip to put in your hand now, 666. They have it ready. Folks, we're talking about tribulation time. I looked over at my wife this morning. She was sick yesterday and last night, and she still didn't want to miss church this morning. But anyway, I looked over at her this morning. I said, you know, my heart goes out to Israel. Israel's getting ready for what the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble. They're going to go through things. I feel sorry for Israel. Israel, the whole world, even the United States now with new leadership, you're going to see them turning against Israel. They're turning more and more against the other side and the other group of people. The whole world is turning against the people of God, the chosen of God. And they're going to go through persecution, and they're going to go through heartbreak and heartache and slaughter. Many of them are going to be killed during this time of the tribulation period. Folks, I want to tell you something. It's a horrible time that's coming upon planet Earth. There's a day of tribulation that's coming when people are going to have their heads cut off. This sounds like the Muslim world. The way they take lives is by just cutting someone's head off. We've seen pictures and films on the news where they don't show you the actual beheading, but they show you when they have the knife to their throat getting ready. They cut off some of our soldiers' heads in the beginning of this war over in Iraq. And folks, I'm going to tell you, this thing is getting to the place to where you and I better be packed up, sold out, serving God, ready for the rapture. It's going to take place at any moment. Now, I tell you, folks, you need to be ready. You need to give your heart and life to God and serve Him. Christians, serve Him with all your heart every day, every hour. Be ready to meet the Lord. So here it is, verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Now notice, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. You're coming to that. We're going to be in that company. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. See, God's going to be there. The angels are going to be there. All of the general assembly's going to be there. To the spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Folks, we're going to rise. I want to be ready, don't you? I think it's a good time to worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. I am registered as a citizen there. I've signed the roll. I mean, it's been signed for me. I'm registered there. How do I know? Because the Bible said when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, which is in heaven. And one of these days when the books are open, it says, and another book is open, which is the book of life. And he's going to go down through there to see if your name is there. If your name is there, he'll say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. If it's not there, then he'll say, cast them into outer darkness. Bind them hand and feet. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cast into the abyss, eventually cast into the lake of fire, where there will be one eternal weeping and crying, no comfort, no water to drink, no friends. If the friends are there and they go to hell with you, you're not going to feel like fellowshipping. I had a man tell me one time, said, well, if I go to hell, I'll pull up a little red chair right beside me for you. I've got news for him. I've done my dead level best. I don't intend to go to that place. I've sold out. I've surrendered. I've sanctified my life, set apart for the service of God. I'm looking for the rapture to take place any day now. Amen. I'm a registered citizen in that place. Hallelujah. The Bible says we're fellow citizens with the saints. We're fellow, Ephesians 2:19, we're fellow citizens with the saints. The saints of all the ages. Number three, things which make life hard and miserable will not be there in heaven. All these things that make life so hard, all these surgeries, all of the loss of loved ones, that's one thing that's not going to be there. All these hard and miserable things, there will be no more death there. Revelation 22:3-5 talks about that. There will be no deaths there. I don't know if you've ever done it or not. But if you've ever sat by a companion or a baby or a son or a daughter or a mother or dad and watched them those last days of their life as they're dying, if you've ever seen them when they struggled to breathe and you've ever seen the contortions and the looks on their face, I sat there for 76 days and I watched this. I'd seen other people die, but when I saw my companion going through all of this, and when my whole family was in there, all the kids and their companions were there when she passed away. When I saw what she went through and the struggle to breathe, she wasn't struggling like some people were, but when we were there and Lance was right up on the foot of her bed saying, Mama, Mama, I love you. Mama, I love you. I was holding one hand, Adina was holding her other hand. But when we saw her, when she looked around to each one of us in the room, about 3 to 4 or 5 seconds apiece, she couldn't talk, she didn't have her voice, and she saw each one of us. And then she looked up into the heavens, and she closed her eyes that had not been closed for days now. Her eyes just back and forth, just scanned for 3 days and nights without any sleep. She wasn't aware of what was going on, but her eyes were open. She couldn't move her hands unless somebody moved her arms and her hands. But now, listen to me. Now, when she closed her eyes after looking up into the heavens, and she grinned about 5 or 6 times during this process, she was seeing something in the spiritual realm that we were not seeing in this physical realm. And then she did something that she hadn't done for 3 days and nights. She took her own hands out of our hands, her arms, and laid them across her breast. And she took a final breath, and she was gone. But what I'm telling you, in heaven, the Bible says there'll be no more dying. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no night there. No night. The Bible says the gates of that city shall not be closed by day, and there will be no night there, so they'll never be closed. The Lamb is the light there. No night there. No more curse there. It will be lifted. There won't be sin. No more sin, according to Revelation 21:8. All adultery and fornication and idolatry and whoremongering and thievery and liars, all these shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. There'll be no more sin in that place called heaven. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if God allowed sin to be there. It's not going to be there. None of these things shall be in any wise shall enter into the holy city of God Almighty. It's the holy, the pure, the undefiled, those without spot or blemish or wrinkle, those who die in saving faith. I want to tell you something, church. I feel so good this morning, but I want to stand before you to tell you my heart's desire, my whole ambition is to live every day for Jesus, to live in my relationship with my fellow man, that when I die, I can go home to be with Jesus Christ. I've done that ever since I was a 16-year-old boy. I've tried all my life to live for Jesus Christ. 51 years. I've done my dead level best to live for Jesus Christ. So these things make life hard and miserable, but they're not going to be there. And it will be a free country. Everyone say free. Say it again. Free. A free country. You say, what do you mean, Brother Barron? It's going to be free. We know that it cost Jesus his blood. Yes, yes, yes. But listen to this. There'll be no house rent to come due. Everyone grins. No house payments. Grin. Come on. No electric bill. Come on. Free. No water bill. No garbage bill. No gas bill. Hallelujah. No car payments. No shoes to buy. No new suits to buy. Folks, it's free. They're going to wear white raiment, made white by the blood of the Lamb. Forever, we'll wear white raiments. The name of God is going to be stamped in our heads. We're going to have the righteousness of God. We'll be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen to this. Some of the angels, one of the angels that came to John there in the book of Revelation, when he showed John these things, John fell down as a dead man before him to worship him. And he lifted him up and said, no, don't do that. Don't worship me. Worship God. I'm of your brethren. He was a servant from sometime in the past, already gone to heaven, and in spirit he was serving as a missionary or as a ministry of God Almighty. And he was showing John all of these things that were coming to pass. I don't know how all of that works. I'm just telling you, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So it will be a free country. None of these things. There will be plenty of room in that city. Have you ever thought about how big the holy city, New Jerusalem, is going to be? I've got just a little figures. My father-in-law is one who dealt with figures. And he got to figure one day. You see, the Bible says that this is 12,000 furlongs, high, long, and wide. My father-in-law got to figure that that's 1,500 miles each way. Now, if you were to put that on America, on the United States, it would reach from the Canadian border to the Mexican border. That's one city. One city. Now listen to this. He figured this out. It will have 1,875,000,000 square miles in that city. Now folks, we're not talking about thousands of square miles. We're talking about 1,875,000,000 square miles. Listen to this. 1,250,000 square miles just on the ground floor. 1,250,000 square miles on the ground floor. We're talking about this first mile down here. And it's 1,500 miles high. Now, I want this to soak in what your eternal abode is going to be like. Now, why would it be 1,500 miles high if there's not something going on up there? I believe this thing is going to be so marvelous, so majestic, so glorious, so precious. Folks, you got to be ready. You don't want to miss it. The Bible says God's going to be in the center of the city. The Bible talks about the 12 gates. That means, and I've been doing some studying, that means of the 12 gates, that means there's going to be 12 streets that go from the center of that thing, from the throne of God, out three gates on the south, three gates on the west, three gates on the north, three gates on the east. There's going to be the street of heaven. These are your major thoroughfares. That's 12 streets going from the city of God. Water is coming out of the city of God. There's going to be a river of water in the midst of those streets. There'll be a river flowing throughout the city of I am happy. Let's give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. And I know time's running out, but I just wanted to share a little bit with why I want to go to heaven. I've been, Brother Greg, I've been working for this. This is my 11th church pastor. The last church, 10 and a half years. Muldrow, 7.5 years. Clinton, 5 years. West Texas, 6 years in Andrews. 5 years in Wagoner. And then those first several churches, it just didn't take me long to get them pastored. You know, when you're green, it doesn't take long to preach everything in the Word. Maybe I'll be here 12. I don't know. God knows. May not be next year. I don't know what God's got in store. See, it's like I told someone the other day. I said, you know, I just want to finish my calling. I want to finish the job that He gave me to do. I don't want to stop short, Brother Johnny. I want to finish the call that I can say with Paul, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And I've done what the Lord has asked me to do. I just want to be faithful to the end. Now, the last part of this morning, we will know as we are known. We will know even as God knows us. Our minds will be perfect and knowledge will be complete. I mean, you will know as you are known. I don't believe you'll be asking a whole lot of questions when you get over there. There's just something about it. You're going to have such a perfect intellect that you're just going to know. You're just going to know. I want to tell you, for those glorified bodies, those people who go to heaven, they'll have a different body. The Bible said we will be like Jesus. We shall see Him as He is. Jesus could appear and disappear. He appeared in the room with the doors being closed. I believe if you want to go from this end to the city to the 1,500 miles the other end of the city, I mean, just like that, you're there. You just wish to go there. I believe that. You say that doesn't make sense? No, in the natural way, it doesn't make sense. But we're going to be glorified bodies. We'll be like Him. When we go from here to heaven in the rapture, it's going to be just like that. Those millions of light years to the third heavens, folks, it's not going to take but the snap of a finger to get there. My Father, I love you. We will know even as we are known. I have had friends here, but we've had to separate many times. Some of my dearest friends, I don't get to see very often. Brother and Sister Schaefer. Sister Schaefer helped in the funeral of my wife. You'll remember Sue Schaefer and her husband. We became friends in West Texas when they pastored next to us in Midland, Texas. We were in Andrews, Texas, and became friends. We rode motorcycles together. He and his wife and my wife and I rode motorcycles on trips. We went places together. But now they're out in New Mexico, and they're both sickly. She has had colon cancer, and he's had problems, and I don't get to see them very often. We talk on the telephone. Larry and Helen Hatfield, some of you may know them, very dear friends over the years, since 1969. Don't see them very often, but still, we're going to see them. We're going to be with them. There'll be a reunion like you can't imagine. What a reunion day. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And they shall sit down in the Father's kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You tell me we're not going to know as we are known. You tell me, you know, I've had people to say, well, up there, we're going to be so changed and so different. We're not going to know people over there. We're not going to be like we are. We'll neither marry nor given in marriage because we'll be as the holy angels in that respect over there. But we are going to know those people, those children, those moms, those dads. If we're going to know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we're going to know mom and pop, and we're going to know grandma and grandpa. We're going to know all what a day that's going to be. There will be a time when we will know as we are known. We know what David said about his son in 2 Samuel 12 and 23. His little baby died, and he wept and he fasted for days until his baby died. But then he got up and washed his face and changed clothes and anointed himself with oil. Someone said, I don't understand why when the baby was still well, you didn't eat and you fasted and you prayed. And he said, well, I'll tell you why. He said, I can't bring him back now, but I can go where he is. I can go where he is and I can be with him. So we know what David said, and we know Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah on Mount Transfiguration, didn't they? They there on the top of the mountain when Jesus transformed himself, there came two people visiting with him, and it was Moses and Elijah coming down there. So we know that to be true. And the rich man, The rich man in hell recognized Lazarus, and he recognized Abraham. Stephen recognized Christ. When they were beating his life out with stones, this deacon, this preacher of the gospel, this deacon, faithful to the very end, the Jews didn't want to hear that name Jesus. They gnashed on him with their teeth, and they dragged him outside the city, and they picked up stones and stoned him to death. This first martyr of the church, he looked up in those dying seconds, and when he looked into the heavens being opened, he said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father." Now the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But for this martyr, when he died, Jesus stood up and said, "Come on, boy, you're coming home to be with, hallelujah, you're coming home to be with me. Just come on up a little higher." And he recognized, let's give him praise, come on. Amen. I'm closing this thing out in just a minute. Stay with me. Paul recognized Christ when caught up into the third heavens. He recognized Christ. John on the Isle of Patmos said his eyes were as a flame of fire. So John recognized Jesus. You are going to recognize these people. We will know as we are known. In closing, what a glad reunion. Families will be reunited. That son, that husband who's gone on, that daughter, that baby. Anyone ever lost a little baby? Let me see your hand. Come on. Anyone else? Yes. There'll be a reuniting, Sister Donna, with that little darling. Your wife, all the departed Christian loved ones. What a reunion day. Why do I want to go to heaven? Because heaven is a real place. Heaven is the city that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob looked for, a city which had foundations whose builder and maker is God. That city's in the book of Revelations, the last book of the Bible, the only book of prophecy in the New Testament. That servant said to John, said, "John, come here, I'm going to show you the Lamb's bride." And he took him into a high place and looked, and he showed him this city coming down, glistening. Can't you imagine, like glass, pure gold, coming down from God out of heaven? God and Jesus have been up there making that city, building it, coming down from God out of heaven. You say, when is this going to be? This is going to be after the tribulation. This is going to come down after the world has been destroyed by fire. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. The new city, Jerusalem, is going to come down. There will be no more seas. The mountains will be flat. And the new city, Jerusalem, is going to sit down on planet Earth. We're going to be in that place. It's for all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you bow your head? Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you for the children of God, for the Christians, for the born again. Lord, and for the privilege to be born again. If there are those here this morning who do not know you as Savior and Lord, God, all they have to do is say, "I'm a sinner, Lord, forgive me of my sins," and believe it, and it shall happen. Father, I'm asking that if there are those here today not ready to go to heaven, they don't want to go to hell. No one wants to go to that ugly place, that horrible pit. Lord, touch their hearts today in the name of Jesus. This morning, while no one is looking around, Christians, would you pray? I just want to ask. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, but maybe some way you've desired today during this message to be ready to go to that place, you'll just say by an uplifted hand. You don't have to say a word for this part. With an uplifted hand, pray for me, Brother Barron. Just lift up your hand. Pray for me, Brother Barron. I'm not ready to go. I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want to be lost. Come on, anywhere in the building, pray for me, Brother Barron. I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus. I want to go to that place of peace and tranquility. While we wait just a couple of minutes longer this morning, Sister Sue's playing something. Folks, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This is the day for your conversion. It's the time to get saved. Why would a person wait? Why would anyone wait? If you're here today, anybody, anywhere in the building, and you're not ready to meet God, just slip up that hand. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not ready to meet God. Father, I thank you today for this moment, for this hour. Thank you for your touch, for your anointing. Oh God, have your way right now. In Jesus' name, would you stand? Everybody stand. I'm going to ask us together today, if we just, everybody, I'd like for us to come. We don't have to stay a long time, but I want us to just step out from where we are to come around the front. If you can't make it all the way, just stand in the aisle there where you are. Come on, let's come down. We're going to pray. We're going to pray this prayer together this morning, then I'll let you go. I want to lead you in a prayer today. You may say and think, Brother Barron, I got to get to the cafe before the Baptists do. Hey, listen, there'll always be food when you get there. If there's not, come to my house, I got some bologna. But this is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day. I want everyone to pray this prayer with me this morning. Come on, Christians and sinners alike. Heavenly Father, come into my heart. Afresh and anew, cleanse me from all my sins. Forgive me for my wickedness. Lord, let my name be in your book. I have confidence in you, and I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I accept him afresh and anew as my Savior and Lord. And I will follow him all the days of my life. Now let's lift up our hands and worship the King today. Father, we worship you and love you.